Line, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And today we're live out here at Pinewood Social. They've got a huge LED screen outside. People are grabbing drinks and food. It's a great place to come hang out. A little update from the SEC tournament. Tennessee down 38-19 at the half to Mississippi State. There's a massive group of Kentucky fans out here. I don't know if they know Michelle Knezevic or not. We'll have to ask him. But I think they're looking forward to.
Everybody knows Michelle Knezevic. Are you
maybe
kidding?
Maybe the downfall of Tennessee.
Yes.
Everybody knows Michelle Knezevic. If you're listening out there, hey, Michelle. So, yeah, Tennessee down 38-19. Woof. All right, I want to get into this because.
Meanwhile, the Sparties tied it. They tied it, and then Purdue came back with a clutch three out of the corner. Timeout, Michigan State,
56,
under two
59.
To go.
Come on, Spartans.
Down by three with the ball. It's crunch time.
Willie's fired up.
Yeah, Willie's fired up.
It's March Madness. Come on. I need to get the feeling, the March Madness feeling. I love it. And by the way, I don't get SEC Network in my room here in Seattle. What the heck's going on?
So it doesn't just mean more in Seattle?
It don't mean more in
Seattle. It doesn't mean more in
Seattle.
We need to get an SEC team. We need to get Washington in the SEC.
Soon enough, Willie. Soon enough.
Exactly.
Just wait. I maybe like six more months, and then you'll see somebody on the West Coast headed to the SEC. I don't want to get into this because the Titans made a move that we have not touched on yet. They were signing Mason Rudolph as the backup quarterback. Now, first and foremost, because we asked him about Mason Rudolph, he had some very interesting comments about the move. But first and foremost, D-Mace, I'll start with you. Your initial reaction to the Titans signing Mason Rudolph as the backup quarterback?
It's for that reason, to be the backup. I'm sure Mason Rudolph has aspirations of being a starter in this league. And I get it. But you know if you're coming here, what your role is. You are the backup quarterback to what the Titans believe and hope can be their future quarterback. So you come in here, you assume that role, you help out in any way you can with the young quarterback, Will Levis. You know, he was at Pittsburgh, 4 years? His first year was sort of his best. He got a little bit more playing time, played 10 games his first year, 13 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. That's not great, but it is what it is. Last year, he had 3 touchdowns.
Mason Rudolph is not a great quarterback.
He's not. I think he's more suited for the backup role.
Yeah.
Because, again, we don't want to see Mason Rudolph. We don't. The only reason we believe we will see him is if something happens to Will Levis. And then I think they believe that, you know, they have a capable backup in Mason Rudolph that can come in. Because if you watch him last year with Pittsburgh, he did have moments last year. He did look better, honestly, than their starting quarterback, Pickens. So he has some game to him. Is he a starter? No. But that's not why you brought him in. You brought him in to be the backup to your starting quarterback, Will Levis. So, I mean, I don't oppose the move. I mean, I know people wanted more of a name out there, or Joe Flacco, Gardner Minshew, somebody like that, Jacoby Brissett. I get that. I understand that. But Mason Rudolph does fit the backup quarterback sort of role that the Titans are placing him in now. Because, again, you have a young quarterback who you think has the tools to be your future quarterback or your franchise quarterback moving forward.
Willie?
Yeah, it's a delicate thing because you don't want the guy to push for the starting role. I mean, really, you're looking for a guy coming in to be the backup. And I think Rudolph, as Tim pointed out yesterday, he comes at a pretty decent price, right? They didn't overpay. That looks like good value on a one-year deal. And I think privately, Mason Rudolph is probably thinking the best way for me to get the next contract is to go to a place where maybe I have a chance to play. And, you know, Will Levis isn't exactly a guy that has been healthy his whole college and pro career. He has been hurt some. So there might be a few games where Rudolph gets to play and he can solidify his spot on an NFL roster for the next few years. But, you know, I don't know what the Titans fans want out of a backup quarterback. I'm always surprised. But they didn't go super cheap and bring in a Blaine Gabbert, who you know is going to, you know, somebody like that who some teams go with, and then when that guy has to start two or three games, you're saying, oh, boy, we got no chance. I think if Rudolph had to play 2 to 4 games, right, you'd feel reasonable that he's about as good as you could hope for to plug into that role. Fair to say? And what I don't know is what kind of influence he's going to be on a daily basis with Levis. I don't know enough about him, the person, but I think as a player profile, looking at his credentials, he started a lot of games. Could you plug him in there for 2 to 4 weeks and feel like you could keep your season alive? Yeah, I think so.
And that's the key. That what I thought the Titans should be looking for in a backup quarterback. I don't know what the Titans were, but I thought what they should be looking for is two things. One, can you be a guy that if we need you to come in or if we need you to start a couple of games, then you can do what we ask you
exactly.
to do. You take care of the football. You execute the game plan. You can win us a couple of games if we need you to do that. And two, be a mentor, be a role model, be a sounding board for Will Levis, be a veteran that's been through it, that understands their role as a backup and their role as somebody that Will Levis can go to learn from, to ask questions. It's the veteran mentor, and also, can you come in and win us a couple of games? That's what I thought the Titans should have been looking for. Can Mason Rudolph come in and win you a couple of games? Sure. He did that for Pittsburgh last year.
Yeah.
He started the last few games of the season, and he won, what, 3 of those 4 games. So I don't think Mason Rudolph is the best quarterback out there, because if he was, he wouldn't be a backup. He is
You're very much so
a backup quarterback. But it's the mentor side of things for Levis that I don't know, Willie, to your point. And we asked Tim about it yesterday. So when initially the Titans made that move and I saw the announcement that the Titans were signing Mason Rudolph, I thought, he's a backup. That's fine. He's fine enough. But I got a little bit concerned after what Tim had to say about Mason Rudolph. This was Tim on our show yesterday.
But I do think this. He to me, is not a guy that has kind of resigned himself to being a backup for the rest of his career. I just don't think that's his makeup or how he sees himself. And I think that's okay considering the situation that he's come into. But look, I don't want to say he's not going to be helpful to Will Levis, because I think that he probably will be, because I do think his experience probably has shaped how he will treat a guy that's the presumed starter. All that to say, I think that he probably is looking at this as an opportunity to say, if I get a chance to play, I'm going to keep this job.
So, look, I don't think Mason Rudolph is going to come in and look at Will Levis in the face and say, it's on, bucko. I'm going to make your life a living hell.
Last time I heard bucko was happy days.
Happy days.
He's not going to be saying that. But what I don't need is Will Levis constantly looking over his shoulder at a guy that is not, to Tim's point, resigned to being a backup. I don't need Mason Rudolph to come in here and think he's coming into a quarterback competition, because he's not. Like, I don't need Mason Rudolph to be the future starter of the Tennessee Titans. If Will Levis doesn't work out, you move on from Will Levis and you draft your next quarterback of the future. It's not going to be Mason Rudolph. So that concerns
me
a little bit
there
from Tim.
Let me throw this in there, because I had a little double take when I asked him that question yesterday too. Because I understand it from Mason Rudolph's perspective, right? He still wants to earn a living for as long as possible here, and he thinks he can play, which is good. Let me throw this out to you guys. Mm-hmm. I would say this. Ultimately, if Will Levis isn't better than Mason Rudolph, then you don't have your guy, okay? So is it the worst thing that maybe Levis does feel a little bit of back pressure from Mason Rudolph, who is a bit of a known quantity now, right? He's had a chance to play. He's kind of a finished product. I mean, maybe he, with the wisdom he's got now, could be better in the later stage of his career. But honestly, if the ceiling for Levis isn't better than the ceiling of Mason Rudolph, then that's a problem anyway. So I don't think the back pressure is the worst thing.
What do you think, D-Mace? Is the back pressure a bad thing?
No, it's not, but I think there's always – you need that healthy competition. But the quarterback position, there needs to be a clear cut. Okay, you're the number one, you're the number two. Now, you can push him, and you hope that makes him better, but there can't be this, you know, this competition where you don't know where the starter's always looking over his back. That's unhealthy. The Titans, as I'm sure they already have, told Mason Rudolph that, listen, he's the starter. Will Levis is our starter. We're bringing you in as the backup. So you conduct and you go about doing that. Just make the team better. Whatever it is, make the team better. But he's our starting quarterback. There's always going to be competition because he's going to push Will Levis. But, again, it goes back to it being a healthy competition, not a toxic competition.
That's the key.
Yeah. And that's up to – that's where Rand and Brian needs to really make sure – taking the temperature of the locker room, making sure everything is okay. Because the last thing you want is if Will struggle, which he will struggle some this upcoming season.
And he needs and then to everybody, feel like it's okay to make
exact,
those mistakes.
Absolutely. And then everybody's looking behind and saying, yeah, well, maybe you should throw Mason Rudolph. That's why they didn't sign Ryan Tannehill back. Again, Willie, we went through this before with Jake Locker and Matt Hasselbeck. Eventually,
yeah,
you had to move away from Matt. Not because Matt wasn't a good quarterback, because you had committed to Locker. And you got to allow him to either fail or succeed. But you can't have a veteran that you know, if the young guy does bad, people are going to be screaming for the veteran. Guys in the locker room are going to be screaming for the veteran to come in. You don't need that type of toxic locker room, because that's what it eventually causes, a division in the locker room. Right now, I don't think they have it, and I don't think they will have it, even if Will struggles some. I don't think they will have it.
And that is the thing, is Will Levis needs to feel like he can play his kind of game, and that it is okay to make certain mistakes without feeling Mason Rudolph breathing down his neck. Because we've seen Will Levis have a tendency to feel the need to play hero ball.
Exactly.
We saw that at the end of the games where he would lob balls up when you're down, whatever. We saw it against the Steelers. When was the other game? Was it against the Colts? I can't remember. But we've seen
Will
Levis.
Definitely the Steelers.
The dive of the, you know, towards the first down marker where he went flying. Like I can visualize a few of those too.
Against Miami?
Yeah, he did it against
was
Miami.
That when it was?
Absolutely.
I feel like he did it at home too, when he just completely laid out head first to try to get the first down. He went sitting like a helicopter.
But I
get what you're saying. There's a groove that you should have, a healthy groove between starter and backup, where that starter knows that he can't just do anything he wants, and they'll placate him. Oh, Will, it's okay. We're going to stick with you. Everything's all right. You're the man. And you keep making the same mistakes, right? There should be a little bit of push, but at the same time, Mason Rudolph has to be supportive as a teammate. I think that's
exactly
what you want from him.
That's what you need from your backup quarterback, is, look, I'm here for what you need.
Yes.
Like, I am here to help you. Best case scenario for our team is that you never see me.
Exactly.
And I don't know if Mason Rudolph feels that way or not.
Well, he has to feel – there has to be that feeling somewhere in him, because considering Will was drafted in the second round, considering Will is a young quarterback, considering they've already moved on from Ryan Tannehill, he has to know that this is their starting quarterback. And I'm here just in case – something goes wrong. And when I mean something goes wrong, injury. That's really it. I hope the young guy plays well. I really do. But if I am going to get in the game, it's going to be because of injury, not necessarily because of play. That's what you hope.
I would have preferred Joe Flacco, honestly.
Joe comes in with, you got to pay him more.
You got to pay him
and
more.
And then Joe wants to be a starter.
Does he?
I think he still feels that he...
He wasn't even in the league last year.
I know, but he came back and he did leave. He did lead along with that defense. He did lead Cleveland to a playoff.
Yeah, and of course,
he played well enough to do that.
I think that there's a little bit of that in every single backup quarterback.
And it
whether
be.
They've been a backup quarterback their entire career or whether they've fallen into being a backup over the last couple of years, there has to be a little bit of that voice in the back of your head of, I can be a starter.
Exactly.
I want to be a starter.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Also.
And if not, like, you don't want a guy. It's like Barry Trotz says, I don't want you to come here to retire. That, if
right.
you're a backup quarterback and you're signing up saying, ooh, this is the perfect spot for me because I won't have to play and I'll make another couple $1 million.
I'll kick
and
my
this
feet
will be
up.
Great. Right,
no,
right.
This ain't the place for you.
If that guy ever has to play, then that's not the kind of guy you want in there, right? That's a guy that is halfway to retirement and, you know, thinking about life after football. You want that guy that still thinks he can play.
Exactly.
Do you think Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan had a conversation with Will Levis about the backup quarterback? And should they have?
I'm sure they did. I think you do. You have to have a conversation with your quarterback, with your starting quarterback. Whether your starting quarterback was a proven guy, a all-pro guy, you still got to have the conversation. And listen, because he's going to be a part of the room now.
Yeah.
So you got to have that conversation. Now, the you know, the gist of the conversation, now that's a little bit different. It's different when you have a veteran guy as opposed to having a young guy like Will. The gist of the conversation may be different, but the conversation is still had.
Right, like bringing in a whoever, like a Jake Haener for a long-term starting quarterback. Like that's a completely different situation than a young second-year quarterback who's now the starter to bring in a veteran. I feel like that's a totally different dynamic.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We've got a bunch of your thoughts on the Mason Rudolph signing, so we are right to those coming up next. A little bit of an SEC tournament update. Mississippi State leads Tennessee 43-28 with about 15 minutes left in the second half. Tennessee looks like they're playing a little bit more of a brand of their own ballgame.
Yeah, they're playing better defense.
It's not over. It is not over.
Oh, was that a goaltending? Yeah, it was a goaltending by UT.
They wave it off.
Yeah, they waved it off.
And D-Mace, your Sparties put up a fight. That was a survive and advance for Purdue. They really got it out. But Edie, you can see why Edie is so tough. Edie had 29 points and 12 rebounds for Purdue. There's just not much you can do. Michigan State made it so tough on him, but he still ends up with those kind of numbers by the end of the day. That's really something.
All right, tune in.
I'm really curious to see if Tennessee can chip away at this thing and get back in it. This is because if you don't want to lose and get blown out, that's not a good way to get a number one seed. If they're going to lose, they need to make this a tight game by the end.
I agree, and it's Mississippi State is kind of playing with house money here. Look, hey, we beat Tennessee, we just get to advance. For Tennessee, I mean, they're playing for a little bit of an ego check here. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Sunday for coverage of the Food City 500 in Bristol. Coverage will begin at 1:30 p.m. with the race starting at 2:30 p.m. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
You know, when Diana Russini tweeted out that, oh no, oh God, oh my God.
Did something just break?
Oh my God. This from Mike Garofolo. Breaking news. The Tennessee Titans have agreed to terms with former Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph on a one-year deal worth up to $3.62 million.
Interesting backup.
He sucks. Oh my God. Who's running this team? Like, I mean, Sadiq Charles and Mason Rudolph. Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph. Just the sheer mention of his name just, just drives Jared into a tizzy. My goodness. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're live out here at Pinewood Social. Located at 33 Peabody Street in Nashville for Pinewood Madness, the patio SEC watch party presented by Guinness, worth the wait. Watch every game on a giant LED screen. There's lawn games, frozen cocktails, delicious food, and complimentary shuttle buses to and from Bridgestone Arena on Friday and Saturday with any purchase. So come hang out with us here at Pinewood Social. We will pull a winner for a pair of tickets for tomorrow's noon session in the SEC tournament, so come hang out. We will pull those names in just a few minutes here. I'm going to guess nobody feels as strongly about the Mason Rudolph signing as Jared did there.
No, I mean, yeah. Honestly, what is Jared talking about there? Like, who does he think they're going to sign as the backup? Joe Montana?
Exactly. Like, I could have understood if it was Mason Rudolph to be the starter for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
Then I'd have been like, oh, my goodness, what in the hell are they doing?
Yeah, like,
who's
no.
at the wheel? But he's the backup for $3
exactly.
million. Dollars. Why did that get Jared all in a frenzy? Why did I get his underwear all in a bunch?
Why does Jared get his underwear in a bunch, but a lot of things that he gets his underwear in a bunch
there.
About? And look, I'm not going to undermine the backup quarterback position.
Uh-huh.
It's incredibly important.
No, it is.
We saw how important it was this past season when Ryan Tannehill got hurt, and then Will Levis got hurt, so Ryan Tannehill was the backup again, and everybody was just getting hurt because his offensive line stunk. I mean, ask the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
Having a reliable backup in Jake Browning, who won them a handful of games, like, it is an important position. But is Mason Rudolph the best quarterback out there? No. Is he the best backup on the market? Nah, probably not.
Mm-hmm.
But ideally, you're not going to see him.
But how many quarterbacks? Okay.
But he went. He sat the whole year. He sat the whole year last year and watched Kenny Pickett stink it out. They finally give him a shot, and he goes 3-0 to get him to the playoffs. Like, how much better of a season can you have as a backup?
Yeah.
He played meaningful games that they absolutely had to win, and he played well. And even he had a pretty decent game against the Bills in the playoffs, right? He got to play in the playoffs. Like, I think that's a better profile than three quarters of the backups that you're out there. Like, if you want to pay big money for a backup and go for Gardner Minshew, that's one thing, but that's going to cost you a heck of a lot more than $3.6 million.
Exactly, and the way I look at it is this. Yes, he's a young quarterback. Is he the greatest backup in the National Football League? Probably not. But one thing he does.
Is that what you're looking for? You're not looking for the greatest backup in the NFL.
No, you're just looking for a backup that can come in and win you a few games if the starter goes down. He needs to be a guy that you can rely on if things happen from an injury standpoint to your starting quarterback. But what I do know is this. Each time that he's had an opportunity to play, he's played well. He's completing over 60% of his passes, okay? That's pretty good for a backup quarterback. Last year he was at 74%. Now, that's what we want him to do. And we feel now they have enough weapons to where he doesn't have to force things. Play within the Brian Callahan system. You have Calvin Ridley to throw the ball to. You have D-Hop to throw the ball to. You have Chigakonkwo. You have Spears. You can hand it off to Pollard and Spears. You can throw it to Traylon Burks. So you have pass catchers that he can throw the ball to now. I can see if he didn't have any pass catchers and he was supposed to be your starter and you signed him to be a starter. That's not the case. He's a backup. And if he does have to come in, just like he did with Pittsburgh, he has people to throw the ball to.
And if he comes in and he's terrible, then you find a new backup quarterback.
If he comes in and it's
an unhealthy environment with he and Will Levis, then you get rid of him and you find another backup quarterback. Just think
about the upgrade. And look, I wish Malik Willis well, and he might end up on the practice squad and continue to work on his craft and someday get another – shot. But the difference between what they've been doing at backup quarterback and this is really night and day. I mean, Cincinnati, they won 34-11 against Cincinnati in a critical game down the stretch. He went 17-27 for 290 yards and two touchdowns. Brian Callahan got a good look at that. I think he's saying, look, this is a serviceable, steady backup who's been in the league for a while. That is the right guy at the right time. And it's a one-year deal. There's no commitment after this year.
It's fine. The only problem I would have with Mason Rudolph is if it's a bad dynamic between he and Will Levis. Let's get your thoughts on this, on the Mason Rudolph signing. We've got loaded phones on this. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Also, a little bit of an SEC tournament update. Mississippi State leads Tennessee 55-33 with just over 10 minutes to go in the second half. It seems like
They're
everything
stuck.
Tennessee tries to do to try and just inch a little bit closer. Like, yeah, yes, they're just stuck. They can't get anything
moving.
They
can't throw it in the ocean.
I don't think they're going to eclipse the 50-point mark.
It's not looking good. Get it out of your system now.
Yeah, get your losing out of your system until the big dance comes around. And what I don't want to hear is Tennessee fans saying, well, we don't care about the SEC tournament because the NCAA tournament's the only one that matters. Yes, you do care.
About you care about
You take any opportunity you can to get a banner.
Yeah.
Nothing is guaranteed in the NCAA tournament. Don't give me that.
Well, they're handing over the number one seed. They're solidifying themselves as a 2 seed now.
I like it, Nick.
Go ahead, Nick.
Some cowbells.
Go ahead.
Music to everybody's ears.
I think it's music to the ears of all of these Kentucky fans out here at Pinewood Social.
Hopefully this will seal a trip to the big dance for Mississippi State for a second straight year. That guy's done a heck of a job down there, by the way. It has to.
And I think that if Texas A&M beats Kentucky today, that'll seal a trip to the dance as well.
Yeah.
Let's get your thoughts on the Mason Rudolph signing. Also, we've got a whole lot of thoughts on the Tennessee Vols. We'll get to those as well. Robert in Spring Hill, Texan, says, it really surprises me that people are so worked up about the backup quarterback role that Mason Rudolph is an upgrade to Malik Willis. Who cares about the backup quarterback? What are they going to do about defensive line? They did not get Eric Armstead. They did not get DJ Reader. They still not really address the offensive line very much. They've got some very big holes on both fronts that are much more critical than who's our backup quarterback. Two things. Again, I'm not going to undermine the backup quarterback position. It's an important position. Two, upgrade from Malik Willis isn't saying much. If Malik Willis turns out to be something in the NFL, then great, but
yeah.
I mean, they weren't going to go into the season with Malik Willis as the backup quarterback anyway.
No, so they needed to upgrade that position anyway. And I think they have upgraded the position now. How much of an upgrade is it? I mean, people can have their own opinions. But I think he is a guy that is, you know, like he showed in Pittsburgh. He's a guy that can come in and is capable of winning you a few games, if need be.
Viking Matt Texan says, I almost called 911 for Jared when I heard that live.
You would have thought the way he said it, you would have thought that either they traded away like Jeffrey Simmons or somebody.
Jeffrey Simmons for like
exactly
a sixth round pick.
A sixth round pick, or they traded away D-Hop. They just traded away D-Hop for a third string wide receiver. That's the way that Jared made it seem like before he even said anything. Oh my. I'm like, Jared, what are you talking about, dude?
I feel like Ian always has to have on demand, like those things that they use in the back of an ambulance that you rub them together, the paddles, and you go clear, and just bring Jared back to life. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, Jared,
on demand.
You're going to be seeing a doctor pretty soon, man. You need to calm it down some, man. You're only 30-something years old.
Keep two fingers on your pulse. Just make sure that
Get you an Apple Watch or some type of watch to monitor your heart rate, man, because you need to bring it down some.
Another texter texts in says, if Will Levis is threatened by Mason Rudolph, then he's not the quarterback of the future. Competition is good. I don't necessarily agree with that. Because you have to think about a dynamic of a guy who's coming into his second year in the league. And I don't think it's necessarily Will Levis feeling threatened. But there is such a thing as an unhealthy dynamic between two quarterbacks. And you don't want to put your young quarterback in that position. I do think Will Levis would take competition in stride. But it's I think it's more than that. It's more of the Mason Rudolph approach as well.
Yeah, I don't think he sees this as, you know, I hope he doesn't see it as, you know, his job is in jeopardy. I hope he sees it as an opportunity for him to learn from a quarterback that has been in a league a little bit longer than he has. Learn from a quarterback that has went through some up again, sort of like the Calvin Ridley thing, a guy that has went through a little bit of adversity early on in their career, but yet still each and every time he's gotten an opportunity, he's went out there and he's played well. What Will can learn from him is this. Always be ready and prepared. Everything you do is in preparation for the next opponent. Everything that you do. Because you look at a guy like Mason Rudolph, he didn't know if he was going to get an opportunity to play last year or not. But it seems like when he did, he was ready. He was prepared and ready to go. I think Will can take at least that from a Mason Rudolph. Like, I need to always be prepared and ready to go.
All right, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue to get into your thoughts on that. But coming up next, it is, in fact, time to take it to the bank, so we will do that. Now you can tune in to 102.5 and 106.3 The Game today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on Auburn at Hawkins Field with pregame at 5:45 and first pitch at 6 p.m. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, which today is Pinewood Social. And let's give some tournament tickets away, and we will do that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Here comes the money. You can take that to the bank.
It is now time to take it to the bank with F&M Bank. Customer, community, F&M Bank. Banking made easy on purpose. Less worry, more living. F&M Bank. Visit one of their 20 locations throughout Middle Tennessee and Southern Kentucky or online at myfmbank.com. Quickly before we take it to the bank, a little bit of a Mississippi State and Tennessee update. Tennessee trailing by 20. 58-38 with just shy of 8 minutes left to go in the second half. We've got Dustin in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. I'm guessing it's a Cats fan. Losing his freaking mind in the text line. I will say this. Mm-hmm. How about you take care of business against Texas A&M before you start talking that talk? But I do understand the sentiment. Mm-hmm. Nick, I'm excited for your Bulldogs.
Thank you very much.
How did we do last week?
Last week was kind of an iffy week for two of you. It was you and Willie that got the 2 points. Not great, but still good lead.
Take two.
Caroline is at 147 in first place. Derek is at 136. Willie 121. And myself, I'm at 95.
How many points did I get last week, Nick?
Well, let me just tell you this, D-Mace. You got UK to beat Tennessee. There's the win there.
Okay.
Forsberg to score a goal in the weekend series, two games. Did not happen. Got one assist. So I gave you a little half there. Went plus five because you had
two. Half. Wait, you don't get a half for that.
Yes, I do.
Well, I mean, half a ten
is like a goal.
It hey. Is not.
Yes, it is.
No, no, no.
If
no.
I give an assist, that is a part of a goal because I gave up the assist.
No,
that's
not.
D-Mace, that's not what I'm saying. It's half a ten. Half a ten is five. You got two of your picks, so you have two picks. One of them right, that's five. That's kind of how I'm getting at.
Okay, I understand that, Nick.
There you go.
But I bet not hear nothing from y'all again. Okay. Because that should be a half a point at least.
No.
Because he had to get the assist to get the goal.
It's not a goal.
It's different. You didn't say
but he assisted in a goal.
A point.
Well, they got a field goal. It's half of a touchdown.
D-Mace, after season one, listen, D-Mace, after season one, we'll take it to the commissioner's office. We'll talk about it. Write in a letter by chance. So, we'll go there. As for Willie, he had Vols to win by five or more. That did not happen. He also had Dillingham to outscore Connect. Willie at a 40-11 different score line.
I think I told you the opposite of what I really meant, Nick.
Okay.
The opposite would so I should have 10.
Well, I could stub you a five there if you want me to. I mean,
both of you bending the rules.
And we'll see. I don't have to think about it though, Willie.
That was an offer. That was a goose egg.
As for Caroline, she had a laundry list of things to pick from. She had Shepherd and Connect to have 25 or fewer points.
That did not happen.
No, it did not. I don't know what you were thinking with Connect there. He had a 40-piece, and then Shepherd.
I thought they were going to sell out to stop him, but then I forgot that Kentucky is allergic to defense.
Yeah, there you go.
They don't play.
As for myself, I went Rugby League, and I went Brisbane Broncos to win, so there's a little check mark there. And
I
then,
did get my women's basketball.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, Caroline. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
Angel Reese to get a double-double. That happened. Then Cardozo did not get a double-double, though. She had 17 points.
She did have double-digit rebounds, though, so I get 75% credit.
No, nope, you don't get it, nope.
Yep.
I don't get the assist. Yep. You don't get the half of a...
I'm pretty sure I predicted in that game for a bench-clearing brawl to happen. Did I say that?
No, I don't think you did that either.
I don't know about that one. I'll have to go to the audio for that.
That was your prop bet.
No, need to go back to the audio. All right, let's take it to the bank this week.
Go ahead.
Off this week.
We'll let D-Mace go ahead, even though Caroline's in first. But.
Seriously, why do I have to go first? Okay, tonight, I'm gonna go with the hockey theme tonight.
Okay.
Okay? I got the Preds scoring at least two goals, and the third line.
Two goals?
Yeah, scoring
at least
two goals.
Yeah,
they can say, well, no, I'm not going to let
They've been averaging four goals a game.
Yeah, D-Mace, that's a little low.
Well, hey, y'all didn't say that there was rules behind what I pick
that's
and what
like,
I don't.
That's like you saying, I'm going to make this 5-foot putt. Like that's a –
Hey, there's a 50-50 chance that I'm not going to make it, Willie.
You're playing
okay,
this close to the
you know best. What? I say at least three goals. Let's say that.
Okay, that's more realistic.
Three goals.
Okay,
and
three or more goals, that's
the
legit.
Third line will score – somebody on the third line will score a goal. Okay.
Okay. So
that third line.
Sure who?
That third line. No, I'm not going to say who.
Okay.
I'm just going to say third line is going
to. But it's
so
the
is afraid
goal.
To say
that's
who. That's
Novak's
fine.
Line. You're saying Novak.
Novak's line.
Line.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Will score
right.
at least a goal. And I am predicting that Kentucky will win the SEC tournament.
Ooh.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay. Interesting. Right. Okay. Caroline, go ahead.
I'm going to take Auburn to win the SEC tournament. And
hey, Kentucky fans, that was her that picked Auburn to win the SEC tournament. Not me. I picked Kentucky.
Learn to play some defense, and then I'll learn to trust you. And I'm going to say that the Titans make a defensive signing this weekend.
Interesting. Okay. Willie, you have something else?
Ooh, Tennessee's within 12. 5 minutes to go. Not over yet. Little run here coming here. I am going to say that I will take the remainder of the field and not Kentucky to win the SEC tournament. So kind of a conservative shot, but I'm going to say Kentucky will get
beat. Low degree of difficulty for you.
I got to get some points. I've gotten like zero in the last couple of weeks. And I am going to speak it into being. Vanderbilt and Shea Ralph will be in the women's tournament in the first four. They're going to get in there.
I like
so
it.
It's got to happen.
Okay.
I need that
I like
to happen.
It.
I need
I
this to
be
happen.
I know they'll be sweating it out this weekend.
All right.
I need this to happen. So I'm going to say it's going to happen.
Willie, you need a big week if you want to somehow win season one because it's over on Tuesday because opening day is in South Korea. Excuse me. As for myself, I'm going to take Mississippi State to win the SEC tournament. That might be a little bit of an impulse pick there. But also going to take, because opening day is next week, I'm going to go before that. And I'm going to say... Oh, boy. I'm going to go Mookie Betts to hit a home run on opening day. This will kind of be a combo pick for next season because it starts and also to end it. So I
next
mean,
season of Take It to the Bank.
Yeah, so okay. I'm going to do that. But as for Preds purposes, I'm going to go two goals. For one, Philip Forsberg.
Ah, two.
Yes.
I like that.
And
I
that's all
like
I got.
It.
And D-Mace, just hash brown casserole, just sneak it in there.
Okay.
Just keep adding
I
that
try.
One in there.
If I'm thinking about it, I'll try to go
one
find it
one of these
it
days you'll get a point if you just continue to stay consistent.
And quickly, before we go, the Eagles are working on a trade with the Steelers for quarterback Kenny Pickett.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it is interesting. I don't see how that
so
makes
is Russell
sense.
Wilson the Steelers starter?
Oh, yeah. The minute they signed him, he became the Steelers starter.
Oh. Ooh. All right. All right. Also, a little bit of news. Juwan Howard out as Michigan's head coach.
Uh-huh.
That is going to do it for us today. We will be back on Monday at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company. It's up next.
Be love and love on your people. Happy weekend and peace.